Pledge allegiance, please.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Good morning and welcome to our February 9 a.m. township meeting. It was kind of a nasty day, so surprised anybody showed up, actually. Anyways, we'll move on. Any public comment? Okay, not seeing any, we'll move on. Approval of the agenda. Is there anything that needs to be changed on the agenda? And there is two pages for those who didn't open it up. Just make that.
We figured that out.
That's Shelley's doing. I was going to shrink it. I'm just kidding.
First.
I need a motion on the agenda, please.
I'll make a motion to approve the agenda.
Support.
Okay. Do we have any further discussion? Okay, not hearing any. All in favor, signify by saying aye, please.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Consent agenda. Just so everyone knows that immediately after this meeting, we will have discussion on the budgets. But if this is okay, I would entertain a motion on the consent agenda.
Move to accept consent.
I'll second.
Okay, we have support. Any discussion? Not hearing any. Shelley?
Roll call. Holtz?
Yes.
Eisenhart?
Yes.
Szymanski?
Yes.
Amos?
Yes.
Boysbert, yes.
Motion carries. Full board. Okay, we'll move on. Summary of the special sewer information meeting held on January 15, 2019. We did have a special meeting. We had Performance Engineering was here, as well as Matt Zerman from Varnum, Bill Derman, our board. We had an informational meeting for all the landowners from North Bay Shore Drive up through to Inwood Harbor. I don't remember the exact tally, but I'm sure you've got that, Shelley. Is we did have
there,
some folks opposed.
65 people.
Oh, there it is. But all in all, I guess in a sense, figuring that we had knew there would be opposition, questions, concerns, I do think it went pretty well. I mean, we did have some very good questions asked, I thought, about the process and also what may happen and kind of some of the systems we were considering. And again, I want to remind everyone, it was just an informational meeting to get feedback from the public to see what the interest was. One concern that was raised was about the noise, which I guess they're hearing on North Bay Shore Drive. In discussion with the village manager, Bill Cooper, he said that it was supposed to be addressed either the end of this month or 1st of March. So I assume that noise will be taken care of. And that was one piece of the opposition I guess I didn't really expect to hear from. We also know that there were people with support. We've had some feedback after the meeting. Shelley has had folks in public that are in person that actually kind of thanked us for having it and looking forward to the, you know, the process and the project. But I would say that probably we need to consider another meeting, you know, and try to flush out all the questions and then try to maybe make a decision after that point if there is support or not. I'm going to let Shelley take a swing at it because she's been deeply involved as well.
I had asked people in that area to email me if they couldn't make it to the meeting and to listen to our audio on our website. So a lot of people, the information got out there. A lot of people did get the information and did email me. And I, paper-wise, I'm almost equal with opposition and support. So, and other people have been in and thanked us. Some other people have come in and said, you know, you're really not going to do anything, are you? And I said, We're not trying to push it, we're just asking if you people want it. So, and then I said, you know, we've got other areas that we can look at that may be able to use this opportunity to get sewer because we have that wastewater treatment plant. So that's where we left it. We figured we'd wait until spring when a lot of people were back and maybe more people had comments. So that's as far as we went.
Well, and also, what we need is some direction because at some point we have to negotiate another agreement with the village for additional hookups. So, and we realize there's only so many available. So we kind of need to get an idea of what the scope of the project looks like size-wise so we can negotiate for that. If it truly is of no interest here, as Shelley stated, there are other areas that we could go to, and probably we would investigate those areas as well because we know there will only be so many hookups to go around, and what we're just trying to do is make sure, in our minds, we address the folks that are probably, in our opinion only, probably most needy, and we want to try to get to those folks first. So if not, we can move on. I don't know if the board had any other. Dick?
Yeah, related but not related, did Milton ever make a decision to use up some of those available hookups?
Well, it's my understanding, not as of yet. I did talk with Lon a little bit. They are trying to move forward. And I know also I've spoken to Performance, and they've, I guess, had some more discussion as well as Matt Zimmerman with maybe moving forward on the trunk line toward the corner there for the.
But if there's a finite number, pick a number, 400, and they take 80 of them, that's 80 less that anybody has to.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And the other thing we have to consider, too, is the capacity in our trunk line, given that we still have Karen Highway to address, and we'll have some capacity issues. So they may only, you know, I'm not sure what that number looks like that would be available to come through the trunk line. And then also, you're right, whatever they take out of that number from the village will be lessening the number that we have to work with because it's truly open to anyone.
For the Inwood Harbor area, has Performance made a recommendation? Have they changed anything as far as gravity or a pump system?
No, not really. I know Shelley and I both indicated to him we would love to see the gravity, but in some cases they believe that it won't work because of the lay of the land.
So nothing's changed there?
No, and really before we could come up with a real in-depth plan, we'd have to do a lot more work on it, and we just haven't done it. I know that I've heard a lot of discussion about we should take some water tests at the Inwood in the canal there, and then also along the bay. But I think that is not a very expensive option, and maybe it'd be something to think of before this next meeting. I know that it was brought up at that meeting that they would like to see a test taken on the water running out of the Birch Lake waterway into the canal. I'd like to see that water tested, and then testing the canal water as well, just making sure. Now, I'm not exactly sure why, because I know Birch Lake is on sewer, but you know, then they know that they're not having something else rolling in from the outside source, I guess. So I think those are some things that came out of the meeting that we should think about as a board if we want to pursue that. We're also aware there's holding tanks along the bay. I mean, and we're also aware that, you know, the density in Inwood Harbor is significant. You live out there, Aaron. I know, I think you would agree that that's probably one of our hot spots if we were going to do something.
Makes the most sense in my eyes, but I'm, you know, just my opinion.
Yep. So I don't know if Mike or Dick or anyone has any other comments on that.
Are we going to allocate more money for preliminary engineering? There was, in the public comment, I listened to the tape, there was some complaint that the board was spending funds on engineering services on projects that were just hopefully maybe going to happen, but you can't make an even halfway intelligent decision without some, you know, engineering input.
At this point, I can't speak for the board, but my thoughts are is the only expense I'd see going forward is we ought to do the water sampling. I mean,
well, and I'd like to say that as a board, in my opinion, that's what we're supposed to do is, you know, decide where the important things are and use the money accordingly. I mean, we didn't go crazy. We are trying to get information, and that's our decision to make, and I think we made good decisions on that, and, you know, shall in the future.
Yeah, I mean, you have to have engineering, I mean, to even think about something, and to complain about the front expense.
Yes.
Right.
That information will be usable for a long time.
Right, exactly.
Somebody at the, after the last meeting had mentioned that the dredging that goes on for the Inwood Harbor, that they do water testing for that. Is that, have you heard anything about that?
I'm not aware of it. I mean, maybe they do, but I'm not.
Who would we check with that? Probably,
Whoever your association.
Well, but the DNR's got to do that. We have to get a DNR permit. So who's our, don't we have a DNR representative in the area?
I'm not, I'm sure we do. I'm not sure who that would be.
Okay.
But I would think you've got an association president. I would think he'd have, because you guys are paying for it, I know. That you'd have access.
That's the first I heard about it, was after the meeting.
Oh, really?
So it made me think, well, maybe there's a test out there already.
We do.
I may not be able to answer all your questions, Schaefer.
Who?
Heidi Schaefer.
Yeah, that's who I was thinking of. I'm sorry, yeah.
I was going to say, we also do have DNR people, because we dealt with them on Birch Point Drive.
Yeah.
Very nice guys, willing to help with anything, so.
You know, a lot of times I've heard people comment, you know, when we're talking about, to the point, well, actually, we were meeting, Shelley and I meeting with some folks, they couldn't believe we weren't already on sewer out there. And, you know, you hear that a lot, too. So, I mean, it's, you know, with the waters, and, you know, there's going to be a bigger emphasis on it with the new group in Lansing. And I think it's something that, if we didn't have the facility so close by, I think it'd be a bigger, you know, hurdle. But at the end of the day, I think nobody likes change, but I certainly wouldn't want to allow, I certainly wouldn't want to see what the bays would look like if we didn't do something appropriate.
Proactively instead of reactively.
Yeah. I hate to wait until we have a situation. Well, and also my concern is, if it ever becomes mandatory, then we lose all control of the build out, the operations, which, you know, it could be a lot more expense. You know, I think by going in early and trying to do it proactively and try to address the problems and do it affordably for the landowner, it's going to be short and long term a lot better deal, but just my opinion.
Understood.
Do we have to have 60% consent to?
Over 50.
51.
51?
Majority.
I mean, I don't want to go to that level. I think I always expect these meetings to bring out, you know, you're in a sense tearing off the scab. We're going to, you know, you're going to get people upset because it's a change. And I mean, it'd be no different than, you know, I know, Aaron, the first time you heard it, you weren't excited about it. But after you think about it, it makes sense. So anything further on? I mean, there is no date for the next meeting, but I think Shelley and I have spoken about potentially, like we did last time, somewhere around the Memorial Day time period. And I mean, that's certainly not in stone. We're just considering it. So if there's any input on that, certainly feel free to voice it. Do you have any idea, Aaron, when would be a better time as far as trying to collect everybody up?
You know, you'd have to think Memorial Day, you know, sometime in that time period, I would think would be. From what I see of Inwood Harbor, I think most of the parts that I see the most, it seems like most of the people are there. I can't speak for North Bayshore Drive, but I know there's some that aren't there, but yeah.
Okay. Anything further on the sewer discussion? Okay, we'll move on. Cemetery. What's been going on there, Shelley? And I've been working with Scott Felker, 365, and even speaking with Mike, going through the budget, it's become more and more evident. Our cemetery is going to take more and more care, and we believe that right now, I'm sure the public's not exactly ecstatic about the level of care we're able to give it, but given our budget restraints, we're not able to really do any more. So what we've talked about, and it's been going on for some time, is to potentially put together a plan to bring the cemetery up the speed and such is, the grave sites, the stones, the trees, some irrigation, and then also, I missed it the last time, but Shelley brought it up, is to go in and locate all the burial sites and identify what we have available and what is already occupied, and kind of get a better understanding of what's going on out there. And to do all of that, we're being told by Scott Felker, we probably should look at a architect to look at, you know, looking into how we would achieve this. And what we've talked about is trying to come up with something where we would be able to come in and put together this type of plan, and then at some point bring in irrigation so that we can kind of control the grass, the vegetation, and also have an organized, more organized cemetery. We know that people are not happy with the level of care it's getting now. Unfortunately, that's all that this budget will allow for, and I know it's going to increase, and it's going to just create more budget problems, and we're just not going to be able to do it. So what we're talked about is putting this plan together, including maintenance into it, and then trying to ask the residents for a millage to approve for the cemetery only. And that would look like going in and cleaning, fixing, repairing, bringing up to spec, and then a maintenance program. And that's kind of what we've been talking about. So we've got, I'm going to kind of flip over to Shelley. Scott did provide some information, but it's just really a broad stroke. Shelley, if you'd like to.
Yeah. So, you know, we've been valiantly trying to keep up with things at the cemetery and planting trees and planting grass. And then we have a very dry summer and everything dies anyway. So irrigation is a big thing, and it's a very expensive thing. We already have pipes in the ground, old pipes, granted, but pipes in the ground. And if we could spend some money on that stuff, then that would be the start, so we could start landscaping better. We even, from previous meetings, you may know, we even dipped into
perpetual care.
Yeah, I was thinking permanent care, care fund, and tried to do some things with that, get rid of tree limbs that are falling and all of that stuff. So we've tried every way we can, and so if we were to be able to get a landscape architect to help set us up and also do imaging, that imaging is someone comes in with some machines, and because we have graves from the early 1900s where someone would buy a plot for their $2, and there's actually 10 spaces on that plot that we could use, and only two people are buried there, but we don't know that right now, and there's a whole process to figure out, you know, what's actually in the ground, and then can we get back to the heirs of the family that bought it in the first place so that we could maybe resell some of these areas. That would give us a lot more space for people in the township. So there's just a lot of work that we can't afford, and we're just starting with the groundwork now, so to speak, to get costs, and I think we'll try to move forward from there.
No, and it's been an ongoing issue. Certainly we had some storm damage a few years ago that we've dealt with. And Mike, what annually roughly are we spending right now on the cemetery?
$32,000 is what we have in our budget.
Yeah,
32. But
we've gone over a little bit of that. And that's just for the mowing. I mean, that is the worst place to mow, because there is no straight back and forth. I mean, you're going around and around. And the worst part, or the hardest part, is I think is when they go back and do the weed whacking, because that's got to be done by hand. You got to walk around all those graves.
And the ground's not level. It's sunk in a lot of areas, so it's dangerous to walk. It's dangerous for people to be out there tending their family's plots. We had an employee that fell in a hole and broke a shoulder.
Well, and when this was originated, the perpetual care investment was certainly not significant for today's expenses. And I think, what was it extra, Shelley?
A dollar.
Yeah. So I think everybody.
For a dollar, if you bought that gravesite, it would be maintained forever.
Yeah, and so it's put us in a very awkward position. And I'm hopeful that the residents will understand that we do want a better looking cemetery, but we just don't have the funds to do it with. So by asking for a millage, it will be designated directly to the cemetery, so anything that would be spent or collected through the millage would have to go to the cemetery, so they would see the benefit of that directly. So it'll be like our road millage. So we're hopeful that we can put a plan together. We're not asking for a Cadillac, we're just trying to get it up to something that, you know, everybody can be happy with and manageable and maybe easier to maintain, but also giving us a little relief in our budget situation, because folks, we're just not going to be able to do any more than what we can do now, and it's going to need more, and we know that. So we're trying to look forward on that one. So I don't know if, Shelley, you have anything more to add or anyone else?
No, we're going to really try to prepare and get all of our ducks in a row and get some idea of cost and a plan and just go to the people and say, here's what we'd like to do. Do we have the support to do it? So.
And we know also all these costs are going to increase with time. No matter what, whatever we're spending today, we're sure is going to go up, you know, over the next 10 years. So just in general thoughts, we were talking about, you know, and we're open for discussion on that as well, but a 10-year millage, and it would be something that people would, you know, will get a chance to vote on it, obviously, see where it goes. So I will move on unless someone else has something to add. Okay, next, the sheriff and commissioner report. Not seeing either one here at this time.
We got a sheriff's report.
Pardon me?
We got the sheriff's report.
You want to go through it quick, Mike?
This is for the Antrim County Sheriff's Department for January 2019. There was a total calls of 75, of which 16 were traffic stops. 9/11 checks were three. It was a bad month for deer. There was three car accidents in there. Other than that, there were seven medical calls. So that's, other than that, the other ones were minor. So that was a total of 75 for the month of January.
Okay, thanks, Mike. We're going to move on. Ambulance report, MMR.
Yep. Ambulance report for January. There were 25 calls for service in the village and the township, and there were 21 transports that month, 11 from the village, 10 from the township, and there were four calls where they were called back from the scene. They were not needed.
I know you had a meeting on Wednesday.
Yes. They're going to get back to us. Our contract, our five-year contract, expires this coming December 7th. They will come back with some numbers for us at the next meeting in March. Of course, we've got to remember we had a five-year fixed contract, so there may be a slight increase. I mean, I don't know how they can operate without.
Let's hope they don't, but let's see what they do.
Well, we have difficulty with the cemetery. I mean, you know, the general fund only operates on one mill, and then with the Headley Amendment, that's 0.9365 when it's reduced, so.
Yes.
So we're operating pretty thin.
Yeah, and I know what our biggest concern with MMR is, of course, is if they prorated all this expense based on our run volume. So, I mean, this is a kind of an awkward thing to say, but if you don't have very many runs, it's going to end up, we're going to have to contribute more. So, in a sense, you hope that we hit the run volumes on one side, and on the other side, maybe not. So, that's kind of how it really boils down. So, I think our run volumes.
Have we been hitting them?
So far, yes. Yeah. So, I'm hoping that maybe we can hold our own on that. So, anyways, we'll know more, I'm sure, next month.
It does help that other townships around us are also utilizing their services. So.
Well, we locked ourselves into a value, I believe, of service and affordable value for the township, because I look at other townships around us that are still going alone, and most of them are spending twice what we're spending and don't have the level of care. Being ALS is certainly an advantage, and we're full-time, so I think the other townships sooner or later are going to have to consider it, because I just don't know how you can go to your taxpayers for twice the money and have less, you know, support. So
We should also thank the fire department for their cooperation with those guys.
Well, it's certainly a little better atmosphere, I believe, over in that building. So, anything further on MMR?
No.
Okay, we'll move on. Fire department. Pete, please.
Good morning. We were dispatched 14 times in January. Current staff is at 20. And just in regards to MMR, I think right now half of our staff has got a medical certification of one level or another. Again, don't need it often, but it is occasionally quite handy, and it was handy Sunday afternoon in that accident. Second ambulance was slow in getting there, and additionally, they just needed some extra hands, and it's nice to have medically certified people as a backup on the fire department. One of the things I try to do periodically is review some of NFPA and MIOSHA's important documents. MIOSHA Part 74, you can Google it and read it online. It's pretty plain English, but it's the part of MIOSHA that deals specifically with fire departments. It's my belief that we're nearly fully compliant with all their rules. And of course, MIOSHA is law. NFPA is a standard. It's a bunch of people that have decided that they're important and they're going to make rules for everybody else. And unfortunately, they have a fair amount of clout. I reviewed again NFPA 1500, which is the healthy and safety recommendation for fire departments. We do good there, but we don't hit all their benchmarks. And I'd be quite honest with the board, we never will. NFPA 1500 recommends a full health and wellness program for all employees and their families. That's quite a little bit to wrap your head around for 20 part-time employees. In fact, I'm sure a lot of full-time staff departments do not hit that benchmark. But again, like I said, these are self-appointed officials writing standards and balancing NFPA with OSHA and the will of the people and what they're willing to pay for is an ongoing battle, and it'll continue to be an ongoing battle as they gain more prominence. Moving right along, all the equipment's in good order with the exception of the SCBA air compressor. It's got a pretty substantial oil leak. I believe it's a head gasket. It'll have to go out for repair. Ken's working with a vendor to try to figure out the best way to do that, but we're going to get that done hopefully this spring. You've got the budget that got approved by the fire board. We'll talk more about that later. You've got a proposed slate of fire officers to take effect April 1. And I will tell you that all the people that have been recommended for those positions do meet the MIOSHA training requirements for that position. And again, one of the things we can talk about later, but it's in the budget, is a possible tuition assistance program. We're trying to offer this as, again, a recruitment and retention tool. I quite honestly don't know how powerful a tool this is, but it's been talked about. I know other departments have tried it with some success. If it makes it through the budget, we will have a policy ready by the May Fire Board meeting for approval. We promise not to spend any of that money until you folks have approved a policy on it. But this seems to be the first step. We're trying to look at a way for some of the younger crowd to have another carrot to hang out there on the stick to get them in the door, and maybe some tuition assistance at NMC might be one of the things that we could do. Any questions, board?
Well, a question on that tuition. How would that look, Pete, as far as you'd need some time served or you'd have to commit to time served or?
That's exactly it. They'll have to be in good standing with the fire department in terms of some percentage of run attendance and training, and continue that, plus make passing grades and complete the class, if they want to get it again. Yeah, there'll be minimum requirements. Actually, it'll look somewhat like the retirement program. Just having your name on the roster isn't going to get you a retirement benefit.
And this would be funding for tuition for any type of field, not just fire, ambulance?
Exactly. Yep. Okay. Anything post-high school at an accredited school. That's the way we're thinking. We've got a draft policy, and we'll work on it the next couple of months, and it'll meander its way through the fire board and eventually to you. And
okay. Board, have any questions for Pete? Okay, thank you, Pete.
Yep, thank you.
Do we have to vote on these officers?
Yes.
Do we do them individually?
No, I think we can.
Do them all at once?
Yeah.
Maybe. Is that going to be all right with you if we move on all the officers at once?
Certainly.
Okay.
Do we want to?
Pardon me?
Do we want to read what they are?
Yeah, if you're going to make the motion, why don't we do that? Go ahead and just read through it for the minutes.
Okay, this is for recommendations for fire officers effective April 1st, 2019.
Mike, could you speak up?
Yes, boss. Is that okay? The chief for a three-year term is Ken Williamson, who has 28 years service. Deputy chief for a three-year term is Chris White with 9. Captain, two-year term is Vince Cooper with 9 years service. Lieutenant, 1 year left on his second term, is Joe Fisher, 5 years. And lieutenant, second lieutenant term for 2 years is Kyle Clark with 3 years.
So you're making a motion?
Making a motion that we approve these officers.
I'll support.
Okay, we have support. Do we have any further discussion? Now, just so everyone's clear, Ken Williamson will be our new chief as of April 1. Pete will be leaving us, but Pete's still going to be serving on the fire board or on the fire department. Okay, just a little clarification. Good. And this motion and everything will meet our new ordinance for hiring. So just so everyone knows, we're going to be operating under that. But we actually do have guidelines and rules now that are in black and white that we all know about. So just so everybody's clear. So I just want to bring that up. And is there anything else from the board before we take a vote? Okay. Let's do a roll call vote, please.
Roll call vote. Eisenhart?
Yes.
Shemansky?
Yes.
Amos?
Yes.
Boisvert, yes. Haltz?
Yes.
Motion carries. So that'll be our lineup as of April 1. Thank you. We'll move on. Zoning Board of Appeals appointment. At our last meeting, and I'll take responsibility for this, I had submitted Joe Fisher as our appointee. I did not realize he resided in Elk Rapids Village and was not able to serve on our township ZBA. So Bill Derman brought that up. And Bill, would you like to recite what, or refresh our memories, why we cannot do that?
Sure. Both in our zoning ordinance and in the rules and regulations ZBA, and on many, all reference texts I can find, it basically says that the township board shall select members of the ZBA, and they shall be selected among the electors of an unincorporated areas of the township residing within the zoning jurisdiction of the township, that is outside of any village within the township. So they all say that. Some of them actually say village, you know, on this. The remaining members must be township electors outside of any village. So Joe Fisher happened to be in the village. Therefore, it was not a proper appointment to the ZBA.
So
willing to move?
I've called Joe to let Joe know that this won't happen, and so I, it's my blunders, and Bill has pointed it out, so I went outside to find another individual. And if you look, it's John L. Conrad. John Conrad has submitted a little resume. I'm sure the board's had a chance to look at it. I apologize for the mistake, but hopefully we can write it here. So I will, you know, Bill has looked at this, so we are sure we can use him, so I'm a little more confident this time. I won't make that mistake twice, I hope.
Is there something we need to do to undo the first recommendation, or just by...
I think you put it in the minutes right now that it was an inappropriate...
Yes.
Okay.
...appointment, violated the zoning ordinance. If you want belt and suspenders, you can...
Cite.
You can
yeah,
make
I don't
a motion to rescind it if you want.
So with that, I would ask for a motion to approve John Conrad to the ZBA.
I so move.
I'll second.
Okay. Any further discussion? Okay. All in favor, signify by saying aye, please.
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you all. Again, I'm sorry I made that little mistake. We'll move on to fiscal year budgets for review. We've got a budget hearing set for March 12th, 10 a.m. after the board meeting. So we will go to that afterwards. Is there any discussion or questions about that? Okay. We're going to move on, and we'll deal with that then. We'll go to salary resolutions. First on the list is Resolution 2019-4, supervisor salary of $24,000 with no increase for this year. I would need a motion for that.
I move to approve Resolution 2019-4 for the supervisor's salary in the amount of $24,000 for the year.
I'll second.
Okay. I assume we probably have to do a roll call.
Mm-hmm.
Any discussion? You'll see on all of these, none of us have taken any increase this year because we do realize how tight the budget is.
Okay, roll call vote. Szymanski?
Yes.
Amos?
Yes.
Boisvert, yes. Holtz?
Yes.
And Eisenhart?
Yes.
Motion carries. I'll let you catch up.
Thank you. I'm all set.
Okay. Secondly, Resolution 2019-5, treasury salary, $24,000, again with no increase for this upcoming year. I would entertain a motion for that.
I'll move to approve 2019-5, treasurer's salary in the amount of $24,000.
I'll support.
Support. Any further discussion? Not hearing any. When you're ready, Shelley, we'll do a roll call vote.
Okay, roll call. Amos?
Yes.
Boisvert, yes. Holtz?
Yes.
Eisenhart?
Yes.
Szymanski?
Yes.
Motion carries.
I'm set.
Okay. You. Resolution 2019-6, clerk salary, $27,000, no increase. Again, I would entertain a motion for this.
I'll make the motion to approve the clerk salary resolution 2019-6.
Okay. Okay. Support?
Support.
Either one.
Okay, roll call. Boisvert, yes. Holtz?
Yes.
Eisenhardt?
Yes.
Schimansky?
Yes.
Amos?
Yes. Motion carries.
All set.
Okay. Resolution 2019-7, the trustee salary of $2,000, no increase. I would entertain a motion for this. I'll make the motion.
I'll support.
Okay, we have support. Any further discussion? Whenever you're ready, Shelley.
All right. Roll call. Holtz?
Yes.
Eisenhardt?
Yes.
Schimansky?
Yes.
Amos?
Yes.
Boyspert, yes.
Motion carries.
You good?
Okay. Finally, resolution 2019-8, staff salary, annual and hourly. We'll need a motion on this as well. And again, I'll make the motion.
I'll support.
Okay, we have support. Do we have any further discussion? Okay, not hearing any. Whenever you're ready, Shelley.
All right, roll call. Eisenhardt?
Yes.
Schimansky?
Yes.
Amos?
Yes.
Boyspert, yes. Holtz?
Yes.
Motion carries. So what we have now is our 2019 and 2020 salary set. We'll move on to HRTHA report.
Just a note that each one of those resolutions actually state effective April 1st. So
oh, that's right.
That allows us to put that in the budget.
Okay. Not seeing anyone here from HRTHA in the audience. I'll call on Dick if there's anything new with HRTHA that you're aware of.
No, I don't. As far as the building maintenance and stuff that I was working on, it's all stopped as of the winter season.
Okay.
And I have not talked to Tom in a month or so, so.
Okay. We'll move on. Library board appointments. Number one, we did receive a letter from Thomas Yoakum requesting to be reappointed. Thomas here, would you care to speak? Nothing particular.
I will come up if you want.
Sure.
Would you like?
We don't get to talk to you often.
Good morning. Well, I know where I live, so I just would like to continue on for the next 4 years to hopefully bring about a conclusion to the building addition project. We do now have our fundraising plan in place, and I don't know whether you read the story in the paper last week, but it unofficially at this time we have, even before we started the campaign, we have approximately $800,000 pledged for that addition. So we still have a long way to go, but things are looking good. So
is this new pledges since the okay, or is this the beginning? Was this all from the beginning? Or
yeah, this is from the beginning. There, we actually ended up getting several pledges before we'd even notified anybody that we were collecting or had a program in place so that we could track all of those. And we did contact those people, and they're still in place. We did get an anonymous pledge of $400,000. As I said, this is totally unsolicited. So as we move forward, starting in the springtime, and again, it's I've been here for 19 years, but I really now appreciate the seasonal complexities of this area. And so we expect, in as people begin to return, hopefully this year, I don't know, this long winter, but we think we'll get a very good response.
And what was the goal? I know I read the article.
Oh, well, unofficially, $4.7 million.
Okay.
So, you know, having another $3.9 million to collect or whatever is significant, but we do have some excellent people to work with who have done the fundraising for Interlaken, for Peninsula Township. Briefly, they did work with Glen Lake, but Glen Lake ended up deciding they basically wanted to do it within the community themselves. But so we've got some very good people on board to help us. Yes, Dick. Oh, and I want to say I've already, perhaps I shouldn't say it at this point, but
no, go ahead.
I've already greeted my future colleague here. Tried to talk him into staying through Thursday, but
he may be.
yeah, not at his choice. I understand. Go ahead, Dick.
The project, from the many public articles, will not move forward until you have obtained your goal in funding or a percentage of the goal?
No, the goal in funding.
In full.
Until
pledges in full.
Yes, until we can decide, possibly we could decide that we have something else in mind that would allow us to, you know, firmly commit to being able to do it. But right now, that's our intent. We don't want to do anything with that until we have the pledges. And with the possible exception, there are still a few more engineering things that we need to have. You know, you gentlemen are well aware of that. You don't put a shovel in the ground around here usually until you've had a lot of things investigated.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. So that's where we are at this point.
Okay.
Thanks, Tom. Does the board have any other questions? Because obviously Tom's up for reappointment.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, at this time, I guess we've got to make a decision, and we need a motion to reappoint Tom Yoakum.
I move to reappoint Tom. Okay. I support.
We have support. Is there any further discussion?
4-year term.
Yeah, this is a 4-year term. Well, that being said, I'm not hearing any other discussion. Will all in favor signify by saying aye, please? Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. We received a letter from Jane Lund. She was resigning from the board. I think we'd reappointed her, what?
2017.
So we need to make an appointment to fill out that term. And as you can see in the next line down, I recommended Dick Holtz. Dick has been working along with us, obviously, with the HRTHA program, and showed interest in the library. So I would submit his name for an appointment to fill out Jane Lund's term.
I'll make a motion for Richard Holtz.
I'll second.
Okay, we have a second. Any further discussion? Not hearing any. All in favor signify by saying aye, please.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries.
What's the term? 17 to 21?
Yeah, you're filling out the remainder of what she had.
Yeah, I missed the cue on that one.
And if you don't show up, you might get reappointed. Who knows? Okay, we're going to go on to Township Sewer.
Actually, it's through December 2020, Dick.
Oh, bargain.
He's finishing out a term.
I can just run and take a look if you want to, yeah.
We're going to hold just for a moment, please, because we were waiting on some more information. Shelley's going to check it out for us. We'd had performance come up with kind of a projection for 2019 and 20. Yerkes, I know Mike wants to kind of plug in some numbers that are accurate. We don't expect a lot of work out there this year because we've done quite a bit over the last 2 years, but we kind of want to have something in mind.
Oh, maintenance.
On the maintenance program.
Monthly?
Yes.
Monthly.
Because this year we did clear the right-of-way, fix those two stand pipes or the entry areas, and then I think there's a valve and then maybe a clean-out to do yet for next year.
They already did one clean-out already, didn't they? They did.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Well, what I do know is that we've talked to the village last spring about doing one more clean-out. And to my knowledge, that hasn't been done yet, but we need to do that. That isn't a major expense. And then I think there's a valve that needs to be replaced. And there may be a couple other things, but I'm not anticipating any major expense out there this year.
Did the village do the first clean-out, or did we private?
Pardon me?
Did the village do the first jetting, or was it, did we privatize it?
I believe they did the first one. We needed to come back and do one more. I'm not aware of anything else. Shelley, have you?
No.
Got anything else? We will move on. We've had, Dick, this is Governmental Center Reserve Study. This building is 14 years old, Dick?
Yes.
And the township, and I won't speak for the village, but to my knowledge, neither one of us have done a reserve on this. So Dick took it upon, we've asked Dick to look at our building and what we might need to do for repairs going forward. And also to be able to create some type of reserve fund, because as we've talked about, our budget doesn't allow for any major expenses. So we're going to put together a reserve fund and start saving money each year so that if we, when and if we have major repairs, we should be in position to handle them without, you know, completely draining the budget. And I'm going to turn it over to Dick now because he provided a spreadsheet with pretty much everything on it. Dick?
Yeah, what I did is I compiled the useful life expectancy of components of the building ranging from the roof to the parking lot, building exteriors, interiors, electrical system, HVAC, other miscellaneous items. And in the industry, in maintaining commercial buildings, it's accepted that you have to assign a useful life expectancy, and you go through a basic spreadsheet manipulation of determining what the original cost is and what would it be if we were to, for example, replace all of the blinds in the entire building in 2020. So to get an accurate estimate of that cost, you obviously would have to have any one of the functions that I've got on my spreadsheet bid currently, which I did not do. But I did research on either square footage of replacement of roof membranes, tuck pointing cost per square foot, and projected out the square footages and came up with a subjective amount of work it would cost to do each one of the functions. And then you just simply go back, it's an arithmetic function, and you come up with a total of how much it's going to cost to reserve to repair these things over their life expectancy, and then fund it accordingly. So it's sort of a subjective manipulation of a lot of figures. But my recommendation on this, without taking a lot of effort in getting accurate estimates, is to reserve an amount until we reach another subjective amount from our board, perhaps 100 to 125,000, and then we just reduce the funding based on what the expenditures are per year. I mean, eventually the flat roof is going to, again, another 10 years, it's going to have to be replaced. We've got ongoing maintenance that really wasn't done that we're trying to catch up with. The building and basically is well built. The structure is not going to, it'll last as long as the Hertha building, as long as you maintain the building.
And this would include outside such as asphalt?
Well, yeah, the parking lot obviously is one of the short fuse situations in the building, but it simply just has to be resurfaced, and some of the sub base have to be taken out because it's, I think, built in an unstable, you know, condition, built on a swamp, so to speak.
So to speak. It was. And so.
So with that said, we came up with an amount of, or I came up with an amount of $58,920, and I was recommending that we, you know, budget 25 to 30 grand, depending on what the board, you know, feels reasonable to get, sort of to get caught up, so we don't get into the non-reserve position again.
No, because any one big loss could be a.
Yeah, all the mechanical equipment, there's two or three heat systems here, are not all going to fail at the same time, but they will wear out in 20 or 25 years. You know, things like the electrical system, as you well know, it's not going to wear out, but it may need maintenance. You're not going to replace the entire electrical system. You can't replace the entire electrical system. It's built into the building. But maybe in 50 years, the technology will be electric. We'll wind up doing something.
What's your experience been with this, Aaron? Is this kind of a good way to go, or?
Yeah, perfect. You don't see it. You don't see that sort of thing often enough. So that kind of detail. Way too often, it's you know, off the cuff and borrow money or figure out what you got to do. That's good detailed information.
Yeah, great spreadsheet.
Well, I know Dick spent quite a bit of time on it, and I appreciate it because I certainly would be lost trying to figure it out. So thanks a lot, Dick, for that. And I think as we budget forward, I know, Mike, we've had some discussion, and you're feeling that we can put what's the number you want to use?
2,000.
Might be a 50-year donation line. Guys, none of us will be here.
You guys think we got a printing press in the back there, some of the front money. We don't. We're not the federal government.
Okay.
But at least we're open, I can say that. I mean, we'll go, when we do the budget, we have a reserve fund set up of like, I think it's 30,000 what we're projecting. What I'm also gonna do is, starting in the first of the year, we're gonna join the Michigan Class Investment Pool of money that the state, the county uses, and all kinds of governmental agency. They pool all their money together, and they have something like about a couple of billion dollars in the pool. They get interest on that, which is a lot more than Alden State Bank or any bank is paying you. So what we're going to do is we're going to set up three separate funds, the general fund, the fire and ambulance fund, and the sewer fund, township sewer, and we're going to move money out of the budget into there so nobody guys can touch it, okay? And if we ever do have, it's going to sit there and accumulate with the interest, and every year we're going to make a contribution towards that. Then when it comes time, if we, like Dick said, if we ever have to pull out some money to fix something, it'll go from that fund, we'll bring it over to the general fund, then we can pay for it.
Yeah, the reserve study is based on a capital replacement theory as opposed to a general maintenance. Then I guess both the village and the township can decide whether capital replacement is in fact a function of maintenance or vice versa. Well, yeah, in other words, you're reserving to replace a boiler, mm-hmm. but you might have to replace
something else,
three or four circulating pumps in a 10-year period. Now I didn't really look at whether that should be part of the capital reserve or whether it should be accounting wise just what is our budget for general maintenance of the building. There are certain things you just have to maintain.
Yeah, we do have an amount in there for normal maintenance.
Then
yeah,
that should the reserve should remain a capital replacement,
right.
Condition, i.e. the roof or the parking lot,
not
or whatever.
Right.
Right.
No, what, our normal expenses, what, 30-some thousand?
Yeah, well, we can go into that when we get to the budget.
Yeah.
It's in there.
But just, this will be above and beyond our normal.
Yeah.
Right.
Expense, and we'll be putting this away.
And like Mike said, we're definitely trying to do that for other funds, too. Cemeteries, one of them, try to set a reserve for it. And sewer is another one, so we've got money set aside for surprises that might come down the line.
Yeah, and with that being said, we've tried to maintain the sewer pricing. I think, Mike, we've agreed, all of us kind of talked about this budget, that we're going to try to hold the same.
Sewer rates for another year.
Yeah, because you've gotten some reserve now where we did not.
The bill goes up 10 cents every year because of the village administration fee, so it's going to go up 10 cents.
Okay. But February, meaning this month, is the month we can adjust the sewer rates.
Right.
So we've had to talk about that, and we're going to try to maintain that if we can keep building a reserve. Okay. I guess if the board's in agreement with that, we're going to put that, you know, we're going to work on that in the budget and put that in. So, I mean, it sounds like we, I don't think we need a vote, but if everyone's in functionality and agreement, we'll do that.
That's good work and good information.
Yeah, thanks, Dick, because the worst thing that could happen is we could get caught short, and it would really hurt us. I'll be tickled to get a couple, 2-3 years ahead, and hopefully we don't have to touch it. We'll move on. Acme to Charlevoix trail update. Shelley, do you have anything new on that for us? I know there's an upcoming meeting, what, February?
Yeah, there's another open house. They had an open house locally here, and they had said that over 60 people had attended. They just keep bringing out their options and talking to people and trying to get information out, and they're taking information in, so there's not been any money spent toward anything yet, but we have a have an update here if anybody wants one, and there's another upcoming meeting.
I think it's the 27th.
Or the 22nd, one or the other, yeah.
Let me look.
Have they committed engineering?
Oh, it's right here, the 27th, you're right.
Yeah, 27th at 5:30 at the Williamsburg Event Center.
Right. That's where they're going to have their engineers there again and sharing results from route assessments and public feedback. So
they are an engineering phase.
I guess so, yes. Okay, any other discussion on that? Okay, we'll move on. Attorney's report. We have a letter to Wilcox Ayers that I'd ask Bill that he would read off for us.
So, okay, I'll start with that then. The board had asked our office to draft a letter to the Ayers. So we sent a letter January 23rd to Willard Wilcox, Theodore Wilcox, and Linda Wilcox, who was the survivor of Gordon Wilcox, who died in 2015, Carolyn Shaw, and David Palmer. We sent it, I know he's deceased, but we sent it to his address, didn't know who would be living there. We, Elk Rapids Township / Wilcox Park. Dear Ayers of Lina G. Wilcox, the Elk Rapids Township Board has requested this office to forward each of you this update and request. Subsequent to the decision of the Antrim County Circuit Court, the township removed lead shot from the park property and received a DNR clearance letter. The township also has had removed many thousands of tires, or had many thousands of tires removed. The Township Board is now investigating its planning options for potential uses of the site to be known as the, quotation marks, the Lina G. Wilcox Recreation Park. As the Township moves forward with alternative ideas, it is reminded that the type of park must be consistent with the Wilcox grant and the Wilcox Ayers interpretation of what would satisfy the grant. The Township Board has found it frustrating to attempt to plan for a future park while the land remains subject to restrictions and parameters set decades ago when the property was deeded to the Township. Board members are reluctant to spend more township funds on property not owned in fee titled by the township. The township is still interested in developing the Minor G. Wilcox Recreation Park, but probably not necessarily if it means that its decisions and plans are to be second-guessed, challenged, or contested by the heirs and others at every stage of development. Consequently, the township board is requesting that the heirs release the township from any restrictions relating to the development of the property and provide a deed to Elk Rapids Township releasing any interest they may have in the park property. Elk Rapids Township will commit to name the future park the Minor G. Wilcox Recreation Park. Please note the township does have its engineers reviewing possibilities for development of the park area, but does not wish to proceed much farther without response from the heirs. Therefore, please provide your answers regarding the township's request within the next 45 days so planning can proceed. I wish to thank you in advance for your consideration of the township's proposal. Very truly yours. So the way I figured it, we have until, they have until March 9th, if the 45 days expire, the next township board meeting is March 12th. So I'll have information to you.
Okay.
At that time. Note, going back to the Anti Sheriff's Department of 75, that is the most this township's had in 10 years. So, and it's, we had 49 last year. So they've been in the area, folks. The farmland and open space, I did talk with Grand Traverse Regional Land Conservancy, Laura Regan, who is gonna be in charge for the Grand Traverse Regional Land Conservancy for the promotion of this. She indicated that she'll probably start the messaging to the general public for both Elk Rapids Township and Milton Township in early spring or summer, because the plan is to have an election in August if the township boards agree to it and set the village request. She says right now is a decent time and a good time for townships to get involved in this because there is money available both at, for public funding of farmland preservation, both at the state level and the federal level. So it will supplement any township funds that are used to buy the development rights. The only issue she's having, and I'm gonna get a hold of our representative, county representative, Karen wasn't at the Milton Township, so I couldn't be, and Ed isn't here today, but she's had several contacts with Mr. Garwood at the county. She'd like to discuss the current farmland board structure at the county level and who's been appointed to it, because it will get involved also and have potential involvement in any election, and or if it passes, they definitely will have involvement with the setting up the funding and to do the scoring, more importantly. I told her I would keep track of her or contact her every month to see what's going on so I could report back to the boards and keep it active at the township public level also, so they can see it in the minutes that it's being discussed.
Bill, I did meet with her, I can't remember now, it's been a few weeks ago, but both Lon Bargy and I met. It looks like American Farmland Trust may come in, and I've had some contact from some folks out there to help support the Grand Traverse Land Conservancy, and AFT has been an advocate of preserving farmland. One other takeaway was, in reviewing the two townships, Elk Rapids Township, the Grand Traverse Land Conservancy has identified about, well, roughly 1,200 acres that would be prime to preserve. Now, in that, there would be some more prime than the other, but most of all, the 1,200 acres would be something this township should consider as being their prime farmland. In comparison, Milton Township has 7,200 acres to preserve. So when you use these numbers, and I know I just backed into them from our township side a little bit, given our millage or our tax revenue and everything else, what in the past has been done is we'd run it 10-year millage prior to this, you know, was somewhere around a mil. And I think that's probably, if you were thinking you could preserve the 1,200 acres plus the matching funds from either state or federal, however that works, and then there's some outside funding mechanisms as well that they can use if it's available from donors and such. And I'm not saying that's cut in stone, I'm just saying that's something this board should think about. Somewhere on the mill, you run it out for 10 years, it should do the 1,200 acres. Now, that being said, it depends on what happens in the future as far as land values if they go out of sight as this all ramps up. I'm seeing it from our assessing side that we're seeing land values moving up. So just something to think about for the board, because I know the Conservancy is going to come here and maybe with AFT and address it. And it may be, they'll have it certainly more pinned down by that, but just kind of a broad stroke at it. Sorry, Bill, but go ahead.
No, that's fine. And we did discuss that about the 1,200 acres in El Paradis Township and 7,200 acres in Milton Township, and she indicated exactly what you said. Probably one cycle is what she called it, if the farmers are willing to do it, with the extra funds, would cover everything.
Well, with the development push right now, I think if we're ever going to do it, it needs to be done now. And it also indicates then the greatest takeaway I had from the program before is, I won't use the word force, but it certainly makes you lay out your ag land, makes you lay out your commercial and your residential. Because if you decide where you want the ag, you know, that's going to make the other pieces fall together. Now, if it doesn't pass, it also gives you a direction, because the people are saying we'd rather have more development and less open space. So, I mean, it really is a really good indicator for our community as to how they want to see this go on in the future. So, I mean, that's kind of my position on it.
To proceed, Planning Commission have nothing new to report on. Pragmities, we're not in that at this time. Further, we've already talked about CBA. We did the reappointment to replace Mr. Fisher. The Elk Rapids Sewer, you've already handled that. I would ask one thing on Maple Harbor Sewer Extension. Have we heard anything about the easements from the property owners to handle the erosion or the water runoff towards the lake?
The no. Easements?
Yeah, they were going to get
no.
Drainage easements.
No, in my opinion.
And that's done then.
It's over.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
it's.
That's fine. I just want to get it on the record, too, that that's over.
I forgot
it,
that.
It's within the time period.
No, I don't believe there was ever any feedback. And that's why I wanted to put a, I'm glad you brought that up, great point. I wanted to put a sunset on, because I don't want to go round and round on this. Now, I will say, we did have a correspondence with Heidi, was it a month or so ago, on someone going in and doing their fall cleanup and blowing most of the seed off of one of the access points. So I'm not sure what we're going to have in the spring. But, you know, again, we have, you know, some moving targets out there. So I just, to make the board aware, there, Heidi did go review it, and honestly, I've kind of forgotten about it, but I'm sure in the spring we'll be reminded. So just a FYI to this board. Sorry again, Bill. Go ahead.
Oh, that's right. That's what it's there for. And in sewer extensions, it was on my checklist also, but just in Milton Township did send out correspondence January 15th to all the potential people that's going to hook up between Williams Road and, for lack of a better word, Oasis Bar there. They've got about 50-50 response, yes and no, you know, to this. The church is, you know, has issues in that area. But Lon is proceeding. He has talked with the engineers to go back to the contractor and get a, I didn't say firm estimate, a more firm estimate of the costs involved on that, and has talked to Matt Zimmerman, who will do the ordinances and so forth on this thing. But their plan is to move ahead. I don't know in reality whether they'll require in the ordinance, that will be something to be talked about in the future, that all, whatever the number is in that area, will be required to hook up immediately, or they'll give a period of time. If it's a period of time to hook up, it'll cost more in the future than it would be to do it, hook up when the line's being put in. They may put the taps in for everybody, so they don't have to go back and re-excavate on that, so it's easier to hook on. That system, the last I had heard from the engineers, is a low-pressure system, rather than full gravity.
But that means that if there's 400 open units, there will be 320.
You'll have to subtract the total, because someday they will hook, and they're going to spend money to put the lines in.
You know, and that goes back to our discussion, that's why we wanted to ask these communities, we felt it was our duty to make it aware, because if in fact they don't act on it, I can assure you that after we have to renegotiate the expansion of the plant, it will not look like this kind of number. It'll be significantly more, and I mean, I think we all know that. So, I mean, that's our reasoning for going out now and giving our communities the opportunity. And I know Shelley and I both intend to move on from this area if they don't want to do it, and give our other communities the same opportunity before it's all used up.
Recreational marijuana, the township did pass a ordinance prohibiting recreational marijuana establishments ordinance. It was passed December 11th. It took effect. It was published published December 20th. Took effect on about January 20th. My office sent the copy of that ordinance to the state of Michigan, LARA, Department of Licensing Regulations, February 7th, to indicate so we could be put on a list of communities that are prohibiting the recreational use of facilities on that. And LARA did acknowledge receipt of that, so when I get the next list, we'll be on it. And they acknowledged it the next day. Because I was reminded of that because I had seen a list that was published the first part of January, I think it was, before ours was effective, and the only one in Antrim County was Mansfield Township. Per the Sheriff's Department and reading the papers, I believe in every township and village in Antrim County has passed similar ordinance.
I think Dan Bean said that. I think you're absolutely right.
Right. Cemetery, we've talked about. Short-term rentals, just so you know, that proposed statute in the state of Michigan, which says that short-term rentals is a permitted use with any R1 district. So if you're any use that a normal person in R1 district could use, it's going to include short-term rentals. That statute, proposed statute, died with the legislature at the end of the year. But that proposed statute has been resubmitted in January. I'm not saying there's going to be any action on it, but it's again active at the state of Michigan level. Local assessing reform was passed. The state tax commission has a year to set up rules and regulations, but you can expect it's effective now, but you can expect an audit a year after that. The state of Michigan is going to audit all tax assessing authorities and see whether you comply or not.
On that, we have two people right now that are basically licensed at a low level on the board review, and we have two more that will have to do the 2-hour or 3-hour course to comply for next year. So our board review has moved forward and tried to take appropriate measures, and we're hoping to get the training for the other two this next year.
And that is a requirement.
Yes.
Of the statute.
That's what came about after this assessing change.
Yeah, not the first one you talked about the super,
no.
But they got to have at least the MTA training seminars. Last thing I have, and I'll defer to Pete wants to comment on it, is I've been reporting over the months about the small cell towers are coming to the townships. The headline is townships got run over by the township. I didn't realize this, but these are cell, I call them repeaters, that's not the right word, but they're cell antennas that are put on top of telephone poles. And they'll be like a refrigerator at the bottom. Township cannot regulate these antennas if they're put in the road right away. an existing pole, or even if you put a new pole up. They can have applications, charge a fee for it so you know where they're at. If it's outside the right-of-way, then you can go through your normal zoning practices for doing an antennas. Now, this becomes effective, the statute, March 12th. These antennas are primarily designed for 5G networks. These antennas serve a range of less than 2 miles. So there's going to be a lot of them if they come in. I'm not saying our area is going to see any. There is sort of one like this on Waring Road that a cell phone operator is using up there on a telephone pole. Has been for several years. In the city, it may be more of a
top of a building.
Top of a building. Well, I don't think so. That will have to be, the cities can be able to control that because that's not in the right-of-way yards.
No, but so that's where a lot of them.
So they'll have these repeaters. Our township is narrow enough. So is most of Milton Township and all of Torch Lake Township. If they go right down 31, and if it's 2 miles is correct, and our topography doesn't affect it, you know, they can cover it right down 31 on the telephone poles. I just don't know if there's a need for it because I've been advised that most of the existing towers that are in our area right now, they're upgrading the quality of the antenna and the equipment to handle 5G. So I don't know if our existing towers will cover everything or not. But there's got to have to be township ordinances established, applications established. Nobody's done it yet. MTA is out looking for models, out looking for stuff on this thing. So at your convention coming up, that'll probably be a hot topic. There'll probably be seminars on it and so forth. But they should have some model ordinances out soon. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm just saying that it's coming.
You know, I agree.
It's another job for Larry on this thing, I guess. And there's specific timelines you got to approve them. And there's specific fees by statute that you can charge. So that's all I have.
Okay. Any questions for Bill? The one thing I wanted to go back to just a moment is on that letter. It's clear in there that we would accept the property, but we would want title to it. Is that the way
I'm trying to say is, if, I'm going to be facetious here now, mm-hmm. if they said they deed us the property for park purposes, and we have correspondence from them, here's a list of our park that mm-hmm. we'd like, okay? We simply want a deed from them, be a quick claim deed, releasing any and all restrictions on the property and conveying us that. Now, if they want to put in, if they won't honor it, then accept that you must name it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only
fine.
Requirement on it. So you can have any type of park that this board or future boards decide to do with that property without having to go back with potential lawsuits or saying, heirs, is this okay with you?
Agreed.
Because that's what you're elected to do, is to look at the best interest of everybody in the township when you're doing this. Now, you had to clean it up.
Yep.
Theory on this thing, and you removed it. You've made a good property now.
Well, I just want the board to be clear, because as I've had this discussion with folks in our community, everyone believes we own the park. We thought we did. And Bill can probably do a better job of explaining it, but during this last court case, the judge made that clear that we did not. We have the right to use the property given these variables. And the variables have changed because when this park was given originally, there was a gun club on it. So you can see through the generational time that the generations changed their mind of what they wanted. Therefore, it obviously costs us, you know, $700,000 basically to correct this thing. So this is why we feel strongly that we need, if we're going to do anything out there, we need to be able to, you know, address the time the community desires. And then also the investment. We don't want to invest and then have it another generation come along and decide maybe that isn't quite what they wanted. So, I mean, right now I just want this board to understand we do not own the property.
So if they don't remove the restrictions,
This board will have to decide what it wants to do. It can proceed to make it a park, okay? Or it could potentially even say, fine, it's yours, keep it.
And in any case, we'd probably have to go back in front of the judge to give it back and make it clear that we are not going to follow through and, you know, get some type of.
So you basically give it back to him and it goes back on the tax rolls?
In a sense, we just don't accept the gift of utilizing that property. So just, I know I'm being redundant, but I've been amazed about how many people didn't realize we don't own the property. So we'll move on. Township Board announcements and correspondence. You got something, Mike?
Yeah. First of all, let me give it the brief history. We collect the Elk Rapids school tax and the Traverse Bay Area Intermediate School tax on our summer tax bill. They pay us $2.50 per parcel to collect it, which means I have to, every 15 days, I have to remit back to the schools that money collected for the first 15 days of the month and then so forth and so on. Got a call last week from their new their financial guy. And of course, you know, Elk Rapids Schools is in deficit and financial trouble because they didn't have 48 students that were counted in. So they're having a shortfall. He had asked us, and I told him to present it to the board, that he wants us to take $1.50 per parcel instead of $2.50. The $2.50 generated in our budget to the general fund was about $6,700. If we cut it down to $1.50, it'd only be four, so we'd be losing like $2,700 in revenue. Now, before we sign this, I have to told them I'd have to have it before the board to approve the $1.50 or counter offer with them, whatever the township boards decide, and that's what we have to bring it to your attention.
How long is this good for? Just 1 year?
Yeah, every year. It's been ever since I've been here since 2007. It was $2.50. The other, now don't forget, Elk Rapids Schools is not only in Elk Rapids Township. There's other townships that collect for the school board or for that district, and it ranged from $1.50 to $3 and some cents per parcel, depending on which, because they negotiate between each township. And our township was $2.50 since 2007, and they're asking us to take a cut to $1.50.
Well, my takeaway from that, Mike, is I don't think it was a profit center to start with, because I don't imagine we're getting, we're not making any money at $2.50. I think it was a number I recall, it's probably been that same number for roughly 20 years. I would say, my own opinion here is, you know, if you want to negotiate with them and see if they would meet us in the middle, because, you know, I don't think we have a lot of choice if they want to force it down.
Did he budget the reduced revenue stream for this year? He being you, Mike?
Mm-hmm.
You? Did you budget $1.50 or $2.50?
I still budgeted $2.50.
Okay.
So, I mean, it's probably a lot cheaper for us than to have them go to the bank and collect it.
Or so if we grant it, it's only for this year, then it reverts back to $2.50.
No. It's set for 2000. This is for setting for the rate for the 2019 taxes I'm going to collect in July. Okay. And next year, every year they send us another letter renewing that dollar amount.
So for 20 years it's been you and others have agreed to
$2.50.
Now we want to reduce it
yeah.
for the next 20 years.
No,
well,
for next year. Well, I don't know. I mean, you know, they're in deficit, so this right. is where they're.
It's one of these deals where it's worked very well at $2.50. And again, I would echo, we haven't made any money at $2.50 if you really look at it. And I can't imagine that this dollar difference is going to make that much difference in their budget. But if that's where they're going with it, I'm sure that they're not going to want to ratchet up once they get their budget problems under control, when and if they do that. So I would say, Mike, negotiate the best deal you can. And
Mike, is this a revenue problem on their part, or is it a...
It's a revenue problem on a school's part.
Because of the 49 less students?
49 less students.
Or is it a, do they receive a fine for reporting an additional 49 and not...
I don't know. I don't know. I was just...
They're running out of revenue.
They're running it, right. They're running a revenue...
They've just simply overspent.
Have you talked to the other townships, Mike, that are in the district?
That's a good idea, Mike.
Just to get a feeling what they're gonna do?
I can give them a call.
Especially the $3.50 one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We agreed to that, I know, years and years ago, because it seemed reasonable.
Well, stamp prices, everything's gone up since then.
It's probably been this way for, well, I know it's greater than even...
Well, I started in '07, it was still $2.50.
But the taxpayers pay for the school system, and the taxpayers pay their tax for the township operation. So it's a transfer of nothing. I mean, it's a transfer from taxpayer to taxpayer. You pay it one way or you pay it the other, right?
Yeah.
Just tightens up our budgets more. I mean, it's at the end of the day. So I guess, is the board comfortable with Mike negotiating on this?
Yep.
Yes.
Okay, Mike, go at it.
Do that. Thank you.
I've got a couple of announcements. Number one, we've got a board review coming up for March. I know I'm a little early on this one, but March 13th at 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. is one day of board review. And then March 14th, 3 p.m. to 9 p.m. is our second day. So just to acknowledge that for everyone, I'm sure that people are aware of it, but I'd like to remind people. Secondly, I was contacted by Keith Tremont from TNN, and he was talking to us about the GT Bay Watershed Group that's formed, and they're working on the watershed for Grand Traverse Bay, which is Leelanau, Grand Traverse, Antrim, and any of the outlying counties. And his question to me was, he talked to Torch Lake Township, Milton Township, Elk Rapids Township. He went to the meeting, and the only representative from Antrim that was there was from Heidi Schaefer from Soil Erosion. So what he'd like to do is form a committee to work to represent Elk Rapids Township, Milton, Torch Lake Township, so that, you know, I'm not sure when all these meetings will be. It's still in kind of the beginning stages, but that there'd be representation there for our county along the bay and our bay owners. And he wondered if our township would be interested in putting a member on. And I said, well, I believe so. It seems like a reasonable thing. We ought to at least know what's, you know, coming at us on the bay, because I know when he came through here and did the highly erodible investigation or survey, we had a lot of questions from the township residents, what was going on. Now, this, I don't believe is anything like this, and this is opinion only, my opinion, is that, you know, they want to look at maybe some potential zoning restrictions and things, because I know the build-out on the bay is getting larger, and there's more homes, and all the above. I think everybody's aware of that. So I think it's wise for us to do that. And I have had a discussion with one of our board members about serving on this board when it takes off, if he's interested. I've talked with Dick Holtz about it. Dick Holtz is a property owner on the bay in Elk Rapids Township. And I think that he's been here, he's grown up here. He knows the whole situation pretty well, from what it was 40 years ago, 50 years ago, to where we are today. And I would propose to this board that we ask Dick Holtz to represent us with this committee. So, and it would be, I believe it's an advisory board only. They're to go to these meetings and to hear what's going on, have input, and it's going to be on the bayfront ownership. That's what they're directing. But Leelanau has a group, Grand Traverse has a group. So I told Keith that I have to check with the individual or find an individual to accept, and we'd get back to him. So that's why I'm asking the board now if this is something they feel comfortable with from our township.
Yep, I have that.
If Dick agrees. He's going to have to start getting his calendar out.
It's nice when he shows up to these meetings, I've always got a plan for him.
No appointments at the March meeting.
I promise.
I do have, I will be gone in March as well.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Oh, that's a big meeting.
Yeah.
I'm going to be in South Carolina working for a couple weeks, so.
When do you leave?
March 5th, get back on the 21st. When is the, so that'd be the 12th.
It's March 12th, yeah.
Well, you've done everything else, Dick, can you just stick around?
No, that's probably a no on that one.
Well, we'll get to that point next, but I would wonder, is Dick, are you comfortable with, if I were to talk to Keith and give him your contact?
Yeah, it's just to make sure that it's clearly understood.
Yeah, I understand.
You know, I'm not a winter, if I have a lot of meetings in the winter, I might not be the guy.
I think you'll find most of this board's in that same boat, because I did express that to Keith, because he's gone for the winter now. So he just, and I appreciate him getting hold of me, because I wasn't probably aware of it, and it makes good sense. I haven't followed up with Heidi, but it'd be nice to have at least the knowledge of what's going on the Bayfront. So I will follow up with Keith and take care of that. Now we'll move on to the board discussion on our meeting date. Am I?
Now, we took care of a lot of March stuff.
Yep.
On this agenda, which was the resolutions, but we had our, we were hoping to set our budget public hearing for right after our March meeting. If
couldn't we do that before that even?
Yeah, so if we want to do the public hearing later this month, we'll still be missing Dick. Maybe if the weather holds out, we could fit it in for him.
Well, no.
Oh, I hope not.
I'm just throwing this out. How far away are we from doing it? Is it something we could do tomorrow?
No, because I have to, it's a public hearing.
Oh, that's right. You got
to
post it.
So we have to post it and have so many days in there. But okay. We could probably fit Aaron into it.
Okay.
And let me just say that last year, they were both gone for this too.
Yeah, I'm not concerned.
And we handled it.
Yeah, as long as.
What is the attendance?
I mean, our budget can't change a lot, Dick.
And it hasn't changed. I mean, there's nothing spectacular on it at all.
We're kind of pinned to our budget.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
So maybe you guys have the budget with you. If you have any comments or any questions, submit them to us, and then the three of us can still go on.
We can talk about it our next deal with a workshop. I mean, if there's any big issues, I don't think there really can, because we've all kind of, I mean, there just isn't much there for movement. So I'm not worried. I mean, but if you want to try to get Aaron in, we can do it prior to that.
Well, like you said, if we don't have any big issues after we go through it line by line, now, then we should be good.
That good with the board?
Okay.
The only other thing I wanted to bring up, and I kind of point this at Bill, I forgot about it, is I know that, have you guys done any more on Planning Commission with the solar ordinance?
They had a presentation at the last meeting. Okay. Larry is in the process of getting some quotation model ordinances on this. They're just talking about it at this point. And one of his comments, I think, in his annual report, if I remember right, was if the board doesn't want him to do that or takes objection to that, please let him know, because they're going to continue to just look at it, okay? Because it's an issue within our area, and we've had comments both. I don't think anybody's in extreme opposition to it, just they don't want it right beside US 31 or our prime view area. Put it somewhere else on this, so.
Just a little background on it. The other townships to the south of us have brought in a solar ordinance. There is interest in this project. I'm not thinking we're going to get a lot of impact in our township, because we don't have the real space, but At the same token, if we don't have an ordinance, you know, you don't have a location, I mean, it can be a little more difficult. So I just wanted to ask the board, generally, are we okay with moving forward, looking, having Larry look at this ordinance and work on it? Okay, so I can pass that word on. Okay, thank you. Anyone else got anything to bring up or add? Okay, well, then this meeting's adjourned. Thank you. And we'll take a quick 5 minutes and we'll go into our budget workshop, or what do you want to call it?
Yeah, it's just a review, budget workshop.
I have a question for you regarding when you have, that's something I just got up with our ears. Is your expectation that you want to name this?
No, we didn't, we want to have a couple of them. So I mean, I didn't know who the heirs, those heirs are, okay? On this thing. And I know Carolyn is supposed to be challenged, and she's got her daughters, her power of attorney. Four years, probably. So see what they do, if you mean, if there's an ask, not we want to control it, we want to do this. The township board, I'm sure that we get a response from several of them. We've had two of them. The two guys were doing most of talking to us in the past, okay? They advised us, one died in 14, I think, and one died in 15 of the heirs. So what do you think? We'll put it back on them to say, okay, who do we get materials from?
I understand that, and you're very good at explaining things, which I enjoy. However, in a situation like this, when you've already had trouble, I was wondering, what if you get a 3-2, a 3-1? I don't think they would waive their right to object later. I don't know, it looks like it could be a little sticky legal thing.
It could be, that's why I think Doris, I mean, if we got, we don't want, whatever you said, you know, this thing.
Yeah, you don't get a majority, what do you get?
And then we go back to the judge and say, okay, judge, we've got this. Now, this is only a 1/4 interest in this property, trying to call it. We got a 3/4 interest saying it's okay. How are you going to interpret that, judge? Is, do they have rights that they can enforce on this, or is it majority of the ones that?
I know.
And I don't know, I have an answer for that.
Okay, good.
I could have read that deed, and I still think that deed gives us the property, okay? With some side direction in the will that she wants the sportsman's club to stay.
Is that how you read it?
They want some, yeah, but I was wrong, okay? You know, on this thing, the judge said, no, it belongs to them, subject to, I thought it was, you know, they got a right of reverter. No, it never even got that far as right of reverter. Meaning, you can't put pink houses, you put a pink house in reverse to me. No, it never got that far. They never deeded you the property. They owned the property, subject to your right to build a park there. Whoa, and the Court of Appeals didn't take it on. They affirmed it, okay, in this thing.
God, this is so interesting.
All they spent, we had big trial attorneys doing some of this stuff, so.
Well, I understand we had Coon Rogers, a citizen, who disagreed with some of the judgments. Had Coon Rogers, a team, looking at the whole restriction, it must benefit the residents. Well, how do you determine? There's no other case law that's supporting you. You're writing it at this point. And it's extremely sticky.
Yes.
And so that's why it piqued my interest when you, I don't think you can waive the right of an heir to something like this for the future and say they can't. It makes it so messy.
And who are the heirs? The ones that are living Timbuktu land, they may never even hear about this again because those children never had any, their children or grandchildren never had any contact with this area. They're New Englanders now.
Somebody suddenly wakes up and says, just the dang thing here, I want, you know.
And we argue latches. That means you sit on your rights so long at the court hearings. You sit on your rights so long, you didn't save the children, you didn't, it doesn't matter. So I mean, maybe now, after these letters go out and so forth, maybe latches would argue in the future, for future generations.
How do you spell that word?
L-A-T-C.
Let me TCH is.
Yeah, it's not.
But it's not that.
Yeah, I don't think.
So what is it? What's another word that means similar to that? Latches.
Try L-A-T-C-H-E-S, but I don't.
So you.
Yeah.
So
I mean, you sit on your rights is what latches
for
is.
So
you
long,
bring it up.
You're in college.
Yes.
No, I'm on.
Yes.
Okay, thank
so
you, though.
Clause. I just think this is potentially.
We don't
messy.
Know. I mean, it is, but it's going to be a board decision how they want to do it, depending on what we have.
Right. But I haven't seen this play out in the village with the island property. But, oh, and then.